Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Time Out, Novak and Maverick. And we are here once again after a little bit of a hiatus, but you won't know that because we haven't even released the last episode that we did yet. So, yeah, screw you guys. But, yeah, no, we're excited to get back to it. It's been a while. I'm looking forward to it, and I am more than positive that my co-host, the Clyde to my Bonnie, Mr. Tony Novak, is very excited to get back to it. Tony, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. I got my Arizona iced tea here. I'm ready to jump right into this episode. This is, again, one of those, like, just shockingly amazing episodes where it's, like, so bad that it's good. You know, where I sometimes stare at my phone just waiting for you to message me to go, yo, man, we're going to record. And then I have my notes here and then we can get going and then we can laugh. And you're just the highlight of my day sometimes, man.
Oh, you're so sweet. And you're a highlight of my day, too, because I have absolutely nothing going on as of late other than trying to get into shape again. And yeah, I need to just sometimes need to take a little bit of a step back and watch some wrestling and talk it over with you. So
A bit of a timeout. Am I right?
Oh, wow. You are just puns galore, my friend.
Am I right, fellas?
That was, wow. That was incredible. all right. So we are going to quickly just hop right into it. And I'm going to just run off a couple of notes from the Wrestling Observer from this edition of December 29th, 1997. We are finally here, Novak. We are at the end of 1997. Next episode, we are officially going to be kickstarting 1998. How are you feeling about that?
I'm quite excited, man. Some of the biggest moments of the Attitude Era happened in 1998, and I've avoided looking them up or anything. I kind of just want to experience it as we go kind of thing. Like, for example, you know, there is we watch ahead and whatever. So I have seen a couple of them and I'm just already just excited, man. Just I'm reliving the Attitude Era and I get to do it with you and just talk about it, shoot the shit about it. It's so much fun.
It really is. And I'm super, super looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to 1999. Like, I really, 1998. I'm getting way off now. I'm very much looking forward to 1998.
There I was is about to so say much, it.
So much cool stuff that happens in it. I remember just going to school the next days after, pay-per-views or being at, some of my buddies' places for pay-per-views who would, order them and stuff like that. So many cool moments, and I can't wait. I cannot wait to recap all this craziness that we're about to ensue. But we are still in 1997. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves here. And I am just going to list off a couple of news, like I said, from the Wrestling Observer that I found fairly interesting. Here we go. So their WWF seems to have re-signed, or they seem to resign the fact that Davey Boy Smith is leaving for WCW, and they're essentially still have a contract with him that has 4 years left, and apparently they're trying to get $150,000 out of him to leave his contract. So they want Davey to pay WWE so that he can go work for WCW, which kind of makes sense. I mean, going over competition and stuff, but at the same time, it's like, what? No, that's not how that works.
It's a weird sell. Like, come on, man. Think long term here. Just spend the money. Spend the money and get over here.
Yeah, tell me about it. And I think Brett being over there is one of the bigger things now, because he did just make his debut like a couple of weeks ago at WCW. So, I mean, the faster Bulldog gets out, the better kind of deal. And yeah, it's either way, they're not expecting to settle this deal right now, because if you remember, there is a claim that Davey Boy did get hurt. And so Davey wants to make sure that he's healthy, I guess, quote unquote, before he makes a quote unquote decision. I don't know. It's all so weird, but I saw that and I'm like, okay, yeah, we've got to talk about this. And do you know who Phil Mushnick is?
I do not.
All right. Well, I had no pissing clue either, but apparently he is the man who came up with the name D-Generation X.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, and where does he come from? Because apparently he had used it in articles in the past for, I guess, WWF Magazine. And so WWF took the name and then gave it to Shawn Michaels. And now Shawn Michaels and Triple H in China are one of the hottest groups ever, and they're going to continue getting bigger, and it's great. But yeah, I have absolutely no idea who this guy is. Like, there's nothing about him other than, yeah. So I'm assuming that he worked for WWF Magazine. Maybe it was another magazine. Maybe it was New York Times. Who knows? I don't know. And the last quick thing, actually, the second to last quick thing I'm going to say, Sean Morley and Sean Stasiak and S.A. Rios have all signed and are getting new names. And beforehand, it was... it is just so funny. Mr. Aguila, Sean Morley, and Sean Stasiak. And those were their names in WWF at the time as they were signed. And so now they're going to be known as S.A. Rios, Val Venus, and Sean Stasiak. Or Meat, I guess. Because, you know, Meat was such a wonderful character to begin with.
Fucking classic.
Yeah. Just... very, very funny. Sean Morley in particular is said to have a lot of potential and have been negotiating with both companies. At one point, Eric Bischoff told him that he would match or beat any offer WWF made for him, but for whatever reason, he chose to sign for the WWF anyway. Could you have seen Val Venus in WCW? Did you watch much WCW?
Not overly at that time, though. Like, I watched more, like, 2000, 2001 stuff, like, the shitty stuff. But, you know, fucking, can imagine Sean Morley kicking ass over there. Like, the porn gimmick was awesome, you know, I think it paid off for him, but, you know, I think he would have done well over there. What do you think?
I disagree.
What?
Yeah, I disagree. With the names that were over in WCW right now, like, it would have been good for the first couple of years, I think. And much like Val Venus's career, actually, in WWF, I think it would have been good for the first couple of years. But then, honestly, I think he would have just dwindled. And it's... like, don't get me wrong, I absolutely love the porn star gimmick. It is my favorite rendition of Val Venus. But, like, you really have to think, how far is that character going to go? Can you see a porn star being labeled as the WWF champion or WWE champion?
Carrying the goddamn company?
Like, honestly, I just, like, at that point, I would just want him to come out with the title belt and nothing else.
Like, he would have just, to almost
just be so vulgar. Like, but yeah, It's really hard to say, and it's a very big what if, but I just can't see it. I can't see Sean Morley doing well in WCW, even if he did join then.
I could see that, though, because, like, you know, when you look at his WWE career.
I'm sure that he would have been billed as more of a serious threat, like where he kind of was mid-2000 before he joined Right to Censor.
Yeah, but he just didn't seem like he was very consistent, you know, where, you know, Reign is Intercontinental Champion, European Champion, but he wasn't a guy who just, like, constantly kept interest, you know? Like you said, he just kind of dwindled sometimes.
Oh, God, considering that he won the European Championship at Armageddon 1999 and didn't do anything with it until he lost it to Kurt Angle in February 2000. Like, yeah. But quickly moving on, last quick note that I saw, which just blew my mind. Shawn Michaels will be appearing on several episodes of the TV game show Pictionary in the next few months. And there doesn't seem to be any video of any kind. But apparently there's a picture online of Shawn Michaels on Pictionary. So if you want to go out and find that, do whatever your little heart contents. Anyway, we are going to jump into the Raw review. December 29th, 1997, the very last episode of Raw 1997, the year of our Lord. And we are in Uniondale, New York, at the NAFSU Coliseum. And we are in commentary with Jim Ross, Michael Cole, and Kevin Kelly. And can I just point out something real quick? I just got told, like, by Jim Ross not too long ago that Michael Cole's name isn't actually Michael Cole.
What the hell?
Yeah, it's like Sean something, and my head almost exploded because I was just mind blown that is not his actual name, because he looks like a Michael Cole.
Huh. That's like as mind-blowing as finding out Undertaker and Kane aren't actually brothers.
Whoa. It's more mind-blowing to find out that Bubba Ray and D-Von weren't actually brothers, okay?
Wrestling is just fucking taking me on an emotional roller coaster, man.
Or that Billy and Chuck weren't actually gay, but we're going to get to that way down the line. But we are going to kick off the show with Goldust. Actually, before that, we get a quick recap of the European title debacle.
The infamous European title match.
Yes, with Triple H, quote-unquote, beating Shawn Michaels for the European Championship. And that did lead to Sergeant Slaughter coming out and saying that he has had enough of D-Generation X, making a mockery of the WWF. So Triple H will defend the European Championship, or will he, against Owen Hart tonight. But as they always say in professional wrestling, card subject to change.
So they get you.
Here's how they get us. But now moving on. And yes, we are kicking off with Goldust.
Baby New Year.
And he's wearing a baby outfit, a New Year's baby outfit, with a pacifier and a bonnet and a giant diaper and an oversized bottle, of course. Oh, it just why
sucks.
Are they doing this?
I don't know, man. I really don't dig it. Like, I understand the whole heat aspect of it, but it's just, I don't know. It can be too much sometimes. I'm just kind of over it.
Oh, God, we're all over it. Even the few people that are still listening are still all over it. They're like, what is happening with Goldust? What is happening? What?
Hey, real quick, on top of everything, where it's like one or the other, where it's like, oh, fuck this guy, right? Where you got your fucking baby outfit, and then you got his random, like, misstep in his promo, which I got a kick out of. You know, where he's talking like, I am going to be entering the 1988 Royal Rumble match.
Yes.
All right. I don't know. Just.
Does anybody care?
Come on, Goldust. Get your shit together.
It's just so funny to hear that, and it's like, Goldust, you're not going to win. Like, I'm sorry, but even the six-year-old that's sitting out in the crowd was like, Goldust isn't going to win. He's wearing a giant diaper. He's not going to win.
Oh, wait, no. Did you know which part I was talking about?
Oh, yes, I did.
1988?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure.
Oh, yeah, yes. No, it's just very confusing. Just all very confusing. I'm sorry. It's just...
He's just... Everything about him is so distracting. He's just fucking... I don't know.
Considering that a couple of years ago, he was like... he was so good. It's like, what are you doing?
Putting all his effort in the wrong aspect of his character.
Oh, God. But yes, so he says that Goldust says that he is the toughest SOB in the WWF, and he will prove it tonight after he spanks Austin, and he will put him in a lacy thong. I can speak for everybody on the planet. Nobody wants to see Stone Cold Steve Austin in a lacy thong. Nobody.
Not at all. Just trash.
Very, very cringeworthy. And I can't remember who said this, but they said, can you imagine having that in your cradle on commentary?
I'm pretty sure that was Michael Cole. Pretty sure that was Sean.
That made me laugh. Yes, yes, I'm referring to him as Sean from now on. He's no longer Michael. He's Sean.
Has to give us the scenario just to drive home how just how fucking stupid he looks. Imagine that in your cradle.
Oh, God, we're still not getting defrosted tips yet. And that's going to be...
Yikes.
Poof. Or maybe, does he have frosted tips? I can't remember. Everything blends together in this time. Just, oh, man. Anyway, Goldust says that... He will be Stone Cold's Barbie, and Austin can be his Ken doll. Yikes. And here's Austin. Thank Christ. And before I move on to that, Goldust also says that he talks about him being paralyzed like he was during that whole Vader stuff weeks ago, and that he is still here. And yes, Austin is now here. And Austin says that the violence will continue in 1998 because he is the toughest son of a bitch in the WWF. And Austin refuses to wrestle. Goldust says that he is such a piece of crap and he is a pathetic sight to see. And oh my God, it's Sting in box form. And it's a porta potty. With Crapper 316 on the door.
Oh, real quick. I just love, like, the long setup it took. And I like how Stone Cold is selling it huge. Come on, I don't have all night. I'm not in a good mood.
That was so funny. Yeah, it's just like, okay, like, we're wasting a lot of time. This seemed like it would go a lot better than it is currently going.
Yeah, Crapper 316. Fucking classic.
Oh, jeez. And Goldust tries a 70s-style cartoon sneak attack, but Austin slams the door in his face. And Austin runs Goldust into the porta-potty and tosses him inside. And once he comes out, Austin hits a stunner. And he throws it... Like, it's just... It's so, so weird. Austin throws him back into the porta-potty...
Tips it over.
I know it sounds gross, but like put chocolate pudding in there or something. Just sell the fact that there is something in there.
Yeah, like just like the commentators were, where I think it was Michael Cole or Sean. He was just like, imagine what he's swimming in.
Yeah, and it's like he comes out and he's dry. It's like... I don't get it. If you're gonna do something, I'm not saying actually get some shit and whatever, but I think Big Show did that though, like for real, in like 2003 when he was feuding with Eddie Guerrero for the U.S. title. I swear he did that, and like props to you, sir, because getting sprayed with shit would just be...
Oh, yeah, I just want to say about the segment real quick. That door smash that Stone Cold gave Goldust was crisp as fuck. You know, for what the segment was, it went as smoothly as it possibly could. And it was, like, satisfying, right? You see Goldust get his ass whooped and shit. The perfect timing on the stunner. Perfect time on the door smash. Like, just for what it was, I got a huge kick out of it.
No, it was great. I mean, the segment was okay for the fact that Austin was beating up Goldust. But it was like, I could have done without all the diapers and bonnets and Nathan's impressions.
Long, long way to go.
Oh, God, it really is. And there is a sign that is in the crowd, and it says, Sting who? It's like, oh, come on, don't be like that.
Yeah, I was like, fuck you.
And then we get a quick recap of what is going to be up for the rest of the night. What is in the crate? Screams Michael Cole. And there is a bunch of wrestlers who were plotting against Kane. Yeah, I'm sure that will go well. And... I am very excited for this. We get the announcement of Mike Tyson possibly coming into the WWF to do something. That was cool.
I can imagine at that time, like, fuck, like, huge news, man, huge.
I just even remember, I think it's in the death of WC, no. Not the death of WCW, the rise and fall of WCW DVD collection. And they were talking about that, how Tyson was going to go to WWF. And Eric Bischoff was giving his testimonial and stuff like that. And like they were like, yeah, we're doing great numbers, blah, blah, blah. And then they were bringing in Tyson. And I was like, uh-oh. And just how he said it was like, even he knew. He was like, oh, fuck, Tyson, that's... Good move. Yeah. And would you like to take over this next segment, sir? Because I
would. Oh, man. All right. So we got Savio and the fellas, Los Boricuas, taking on the DOA.
Can I just say something quickly?
What's up?
While they were recapping this, they said that this was going on for 5 months.
The feud?
Since July. This feud has been going
on. Oh, yeah. And then in the midst of it, it wasn't happening because you got the Outlaws feuding with them for one night. So the feud has been going on since July, they said, but it's taken some breaks.
Oh, my God. Who wrote this for 5 months? This is a month feud. That's it.
To what end? You know, like,
that's another thing. And that's exactly what I wrote here. To what end?
So for 5 months, they're building to this brawl match.
You know what? I swear to God, there's going to be more after this. I can't remember any of this garbage, but I just know that there's going to be more of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we get 3-on-3, and right off the hop, one thing I freaking laughed my ass off. The heels are the ones who are already in the ring. DOA comes out. Los Boricuas, all of them do dives. You see, like, a crossbody. You see a cannonball. DOA takes it, completely no-sells it, and they get the brawling. I just got a kick out of it. The heels are flipping and flying everywhere. The babyface is no-sell it, and then, boom, we get our classic... you know, brawl match or whatever, Smash Mouth style, little this, little that, bada bing, bada boom. And then you get the one guy who's not officially in the match. He shows up, gets involved, no DQ, mind you. He gets hit by his own teammate by accident, and boom, there's your finish. A dude who's not even in the match gets pinned.
Dude, you are totally underselling this. Mike Chioda is Chris from Rush Hour 2. When they're all in the Japanese or the Chinese spa and they're having the fight with the Chinese guys, and then Chris Tucker punches Jackie Chan, and he's like, "Oh, Carter!" And he's like, "Y'all look alike." Jose, who is in the, or no, who the hell was it?
Jesus
was in the match, and then he gets swapped with Savio Vega. and it's just like, what?
I really didn't know what else to say about that. Like, it was just a classic, you know, brawl match or whatever. Dude wasn't in the match. Like, they didn't make a huge point of, like, oh, this guy's taking his spot or whatever. Like, Salvio was already in the match. All the dudes were dressed for the match, and then Jesus came out dressed to the nine in his freaking blazer and shit. So he stuck out like a sore thumb, and he's the one who got pinned.
Just so, like, oh.
Just like DX, just like the fucking pay-per-view where people are like, what? He's taking his place? What? Can they do that? Oh, I guess it's happening. What the fuck?
It just doesn't make any sense. It's like, oh, well, he's out of the ring, so I can go in. Like, all right. Oh, but another thing that I just quickly wanted to say that I found absolutely hilarious in this match, there is a sign that says Bill Alfonso Fan Club, which made me laugh. And do you know who Bill Alfonso is?
The quirky manager from ECW who got his ass kicked by Beulah.
Oh my God. I don't care what anybody says, the amount of blood that man shed in that match, and like, I don't care what anybody says, that was one of my favorite matches in ECW. It was 5 minutes, they had no idea what they were doing, they stiffed the fuck out of each other, and it was real, damn it, it was real, it was just, oh man, so nitty and gritty, I loved it.
So you appreciated that sign very much?
I really did, because I love Bill Alfonso.
Oh yeah, speaking of signs during this match, I also had a note there. Someone wrote Hulk Hogan fears Austin Powers.
I wrote down too, and I was about to say that. And then another sign that I saw as well, we want midgets.
Oh, that was right out the fucking ramp, eh?
During this match, absolutely. Bring on the midgets. Bring all the midgets.
God damn, those minis are getting over, brother.
Yes, and I can't remember who it was, but they hit somebody from the DOA on the wrong side of a chair. So, like, the jagged end.
Oh, the fucking upside down chair shot. That was on the outside, eh? I remember that. That was fucking...
That's not cool, man. I cringe at shit like that, and it's like, no, if you're going to swing a chair, you hit me flat. And if I get a fucking ridge in my back where we're having words.
Well, like they said, it's fucking 5 months of animosity at this point. He's just like, fuck you. I want this feud to end.
Good God. I just, my God. Anyway, please let this be the end. But now we get Sean at ringside being the eager beaver that he is, and he says, I want to take a crowbar and open that crate myself. I'm like, no, wait. It's Christmas. You have to wait, Sean. God. Anyway, I'm never calling him Michael Cole again.
I just can't, man. The veil is gone.
Fuck, it really is. And... God, quickly, because it's a DX segment. Hunter comes out with China on crutches and says that, what the hell did I write here? Oh, he dislocated his kneecap. And the way that I wrote it, I'm like, what? Disbated? What does that mean? No, dislocated, you dummy. He dislocated his kneecap last night, so he has to wait to stomp Owen. And Sean is at home with a fever, so he's going to have to wait. The Undertaker's going to have to wait for the Rumble to rest in pieces. And then the bong hits, and the Druids come out with a casket. What did I say? Pick on a gimp? Oh, yes, Triple H is in the ring, and of course he's jaw-jacking, not taking the thing seriously, so it's like, okay, is this supposed to be taken serious? And, yeah.
Oh, you're going to pick on a gimp?
Because, wouldn't you know it? Break it down! It's Shawn Michaels. He arrives in the casket. And Shawn banters a lot and introduces the two newest members of D-Generation X. And and it's China's new set of tits. And they go on to say that she was the best damn woman in the WWF, but now she's the breast damn woman in the WWF. And then they make another joke that they should rename themselves Double DX.
I remember the camera zoomed in on one dude who was laughing his ass off.
Oh, yes, of course. Because
breast.
This is the era of South Park, after all.
Very much so.
And Sean goes on to say he will beat that nugget, Owen, later tonight. So, yes, that is confirmed. That WWF Championship will be on the line tonight instead of the European Championship. Owen Hart will take on Shawn Michaels for the WWF title. When I found this out as a kid while I was watching this, I screamed because I was like, Owen's winning. Owen's winning tonight. Owen's going to be the champion. And everything's going to be right in the world. gullible.
Feels like it should have been a pay-per-view, but, you know, watching, I was kind of excited that it was going to happen. I'm just like, looking forward to the match. Know how it's going to end, but at the same time, I'm, you know, happy it's happening. At least they didn't completely sweep Owen under the rug there.
In this time period, you also have to realize, too, WCW was fucking smoking WWF in the ratings. So,
you got to do what you can.
Exactly. You want to try to do what you can to build those numbers, right? So,
yeah.
Hell of a move, but yeah. Anyway, also goes on to say that The Undertaker tried twice, but he couldn't get the job done. And Shawn Michaels will just do it all over again and escape The Undertaker. And says that 1998 is DX's year and no one will crash their party. Sarge comes down, and here comes the fat jokes. They oh my god, we've had weeks of this. And, oh, I ruined it. Sergeant Slaughter
announces,
comes out, and says that he has read Triple H's medical records a few seconds ago. It's like, so were you literally just behind the curtain reading the paper and then you threw him down and walked out? Like, I was just reading him a second ago. It's like, that is what I picture when they say stuff like that. When there's things labeled like that. Anyway, as I said beforehand, Shawn Michaels will defend the championship against Owen Hart. And Shawn Michaels goes ballistic. Yeah, what did you think of that segment?
Very, very long, and, you know, not saying I knew what they were going to say, but in a way it was predictable. It was just like the juvenile bullshit, this and that, where it just kind of drags out. They're just kind of making themselves laugh, which is whatever. I hate to be so cynical, but like, fuck, like, you know, I hear it in your voice too, where you're just kind of like...
Enough's enough.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. And that's just it. It's like, once I hear the same thing over and... And especially when it is literally week after week after week after week, it's like, okay, we get the picture. Yes, I get it. You are appealing to those who are literally just turning in for the first time, who have absolutely no pissing clue what professional wrestling is. But at the same time, it's like, do you have to do the same thing every week? At least split them up.
Yeah. Yeah, like shorten the segment at least, you know, like fuck.
Or shorten the segment. Yeah, you can do that too. Would you like to take over the next match, sir?
I do not have too many notes on it. Hopefully, like in ring wise, you can help me out here. But we have Ken Shamrock continuing his run through of the Nation, and he's taking on Colm, which I dug. It was a cool match where. It was like a logical match of Shamrock like breaking him down and stuff, and especially with Kama being like the biggest member, right, the tallest member. So I dug it and led to as we talk about fucking Ken Shamrock tapping people out, which is always fun to watch. And we get the Rock promo right after, you know, like I feel like Rock's getting better each and every week, man. Like the exact opposite with the Rock in DX, I'm growing more sick of DX, but I'm growing more fonder of The Rock. So the match was good. The promo was good. What did you think?
I agree. And I honestly didn't watch, like, I didn't take too many notes for the match itself. I just wrote the finish, which D'Lo holds Shamrock. Kama tries for the thrust kick, hitting D'Lo, which allows Ken to use an armbar to transition into the ankle lock, which I like when Shamrock does cool shit like that, like into like those nifty transitions. It's something different, right?
When you change it up, yeah.
Totally. And Angle became a fucking master at it, like down the line. So it's just, it's really cool to see that. And
real quick on like that same note, what I want to say, Jack Swagger, I don't think he gets enough credit for that too. Like a perfect example, you know, like the World's Strongest Slam hold. Let's say Swagger had somebody there and then he just threw them up and on the way down, he caught their ankle on the way down. You know,
that's pretty cool.
So there's just so many people who just like, you know, have a signature move and they have all these different transitions. Like you said, Kurt Angle is master of that. Ken Shamrock is a good example of that. In this match alone, you know, like it's just, it's good. It's fun to watch.
It is. It's fun to watch Ken Shamrock kick ass.
Yeah.
The Rock comes out and he makes the challenge for Ken Shamrock against Farouk. Farouk looks miffed. He's like, "What? Damn!"
Just volunteers him.
it's so funny watching this. And then right before The Rock leaves, he says, "Comma, D'Lo, know your role. Farouk, let's go." you can see the cracks there. Like it's like, no, we know who the real leader of the nation is now. Like,
we know who the alpha is.
Oh, abso-frickin-lutely. And then we get a Happy New Year video from Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
I just straight up wrote the Vince ass-kissing promo.
Thank you. That's literally what I was going to say. I'm like, how much brown nosery is in this fucking promo?
In a matter of minutes, a lot of handsome fans are going to be occupying these stands, and they're going to be watching the best wrestling on the planet, and we are so happy to have you here. Oh, it was so bad.
It was so bad, dude.
You still think she's a babyface?
Jesus. Oh, my God. And I'm sorry, but I need to take over right now because this match killed me. I was laughing so much throughout this whole next segment. So Jerry the King Lawler and Brian Christopher are in the ring. And King asks Jim Ross who Brian Christopher's father is. None other than Jim Ross. And King says on the mic, you can refer to him as good old BC. It's just, I love Jerry the King Lawler. He is so fucking funny on the mic, man.
It was literally just a no you.
It's just so funny.
Oh, that was funny shit. And I like how he said it, and then he went right back to the match itself, where he just didn't even give JR time to react, time to say anything. He's just like, fuck you, JR, you're his dad. Anyway, Taka, get your ass out here.
Yeah, I know, right? But yeah, so we get Jerry the King Lawler and Brian Christopher versus Taka Michinoku and a mystery partner. And okay, if you would have taken any guess on who this mystery partner would have been with the roster that 1997 has right now, who would you have gone with?
Like, if I had as a fan, my guess would have been Sergeant Slaughter. You know, like, he's active, Hall of Famer, whatever else, you know, like, just to, because you'd want to mirror, like, Jerry Lawler, right? Which I assume what they were trying to do. But then, if I was actually booking it, I don't even fucking know. I probably would have went with who they went with, just for shits and giggles.
I could just picture the conversation all over the phone. Hey, What are you doing? Nothing. Hey, cool. You want to come in and do something? Yeah, sure. Why not? I could use payday. But Taka Michinoku's partner is none other than George the Animal Steel.
And to a pop. No, like, no less. That fucking guy came out to a pop. Green tongue and all.
I just... Oh, my God, dude. Oh, my God. I died. Like, I'm like, who the hell is Taka's partner going to be? And then he came out, and I was on the floor. I was literally on the floor laughing. Oh, my God. But, yeah. So we're going to get a quick recap of this match. Before the bell, Steel chases away the Lawlers, and they bail out of the ring, which I just found hilarious. Like, just how both of them are reacting, running around the ring, and then bailing was just hilarious. Steel gets hungry and starts to eat the turnbuckle that the Lawlers are going to use. And then as he eats his and Taka's turnbuckle pad, Jerry the King Lawler and Brian Christopher attack Taka.
Yeah, so George is busy eating the buckle, and right behind him, his partner's getting his ass kicked. And I'm just sitting here going, he's fucking useless.
Yeah, it's like, wow, you didn't really think about this pick, did you, Taka?
You were brought in to help.
Yeah, you were brought in to help, and now you're eating turnbuckle pads, and God.
Like, that's what got me. You? In the middle of him eating the buckle, all that is happening behind him. And it's just like, people were cheering for him, but then they're like, watching what's happening. They're just like, George.
Wait, turn around.
Help him.
No, George. Bad George.
Yeah. And then
Oh, God. It's just so fucking funny. Brian Christopher back body drops Taka almost to his feet, which was pretty impressive. Whip to the buckle. Taka moonsault counters and goes for a Rana, but gets powerbombed almost on his head, which was like, oh, God.
That one shocked me, too. Yeah. Holy
that
shit.
Was not nice to look at. It was like, okay, you can take a second. I'll sell for you. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I'll do my hyena laugh. Spinning heel kick after a suplex attempt by Taka, and he hits the moonsault, but there's no count because the referee is distracted by Steel. And Lawler hits Taka with a foreign object. Oh, my God. Do you need any more gimmicks in this match? Lawler then goes for a moonsault. And I put in giant capital letters here, LOL. But Steel hit Brian Christopher with an object of his own. Where are these people getting this stuff from?
Who's providing the gimmicks?
Who's providing all the gimmicks? Yeah, you know, Chris Candido, his gimmick was no gimmicks needed. Yeah, well, this match, all gimmicks needed, okay? Like
Nothing but.
Good grief. Lawler cuts off Taka as he goes for a tag, but then all hell breaks loose and the bell rings. Steel house, and he goes under the ring and starts throwing stuff, and then he goes after
Kyoto?
No, who's the other one? Cordes? Oh, who the hell?
Jimmy Cordes.
Cordes, there we go.
There it is.
See, I butcher names all the time. Jimmy Cordes, yes. Oh my goodness. Oh my God, that was a lot of laughter for a very, very piss away match. Like
fucking DQ finish, useless tag partner.
Who even won? I didn't even put a winner on this because I don't know who won.
Both teams had gimmicks, so they're both in the wrong.
All right, it's a double DQ. Moving on, the crate is moving. And it's pretty clear that someone is pushing it on the other side of the curtain.
You see the curtain moving with the box? Yeah.
And just how the box is, like, tugging on the curtain, too. It's like, I'm pretty sure it would wave around if it was just moving.
I think that, like, was very half-assed. It's like someone was at catering, the guy who's supposed to do it, and they're just like, hey, get over there, and he's over there, sandwich in one hand, pushing the box with the other, not realizing he's also shaking the curtain. It just seemed like a simple thing, but it looked stupid.
Very, very stupid. Oh, my God.
But on a lighter note, I'm pretty sure you enjoyed this, too. Outlaws come out, talk shit, and then we get a Three Faces of Foley promo.
Holy crap, you are underselling, sir. We are kicking off Warzone.
God damn it. I don't give a fuck.
I give a fuck, because this is my childhood, damn it. And we are joined by Jerry the King Lawler, who just wrestled his ass off, and good old JR.
He didn't even look like he wrestled. He looked crisp, man.
I just... You know what? Yeah, it was... Give me a towel so I can dry off, and I'm going to go back out there and do comms now.
I got work to do.
Yeah, I got work to do. But yes, the Three Faces of Foley promo, and it's Dude Love who appears on the screen first, and then he transitions into Mankind, and then he forms, in all capital letters, Cactus Jack. You got a surprise for me, I got a surprise for you. Bang bang. I love it.
Beautiful.
Love it. And there was a monstrous pop for Cactus. And he's got the bar baseball bat, and just, oh man, so good. Would fuck you, like, yeah, kick this match off?
Fuck. I kind of, like, skimmed the match as far as notes, but I did write down about the stiff chair shot that Mick took.
All right.
And the quick fucking DDT. That was beautiful.
Yeah, that was... Ooh, yeah.
It was a quick little, like, hodgepodge match, too, right? Like, he just fucking did the double mandible claw, threw Billy out of the ring, ding, ding, him and Road Dogg, right?
We also get a very, very, very important thing during the Cactus... Dude Love Mankind promo, that they refer to a Chainsaw Charlie. And so before the match, the New Age Outlaw tries to jump Cactus, but Jack comes back with the double mandible claw. He gets rid of Billy, and we are on match number four, ladies and gentlemen. Road Dogg versus Cactus Jack. And Road Dogg is in the corner. Jack goes for his signature knee and connects. Road Dogg goes to the outside. And the Cactus elbow off the apron. Yeah, I know it looks painful, and Foley's body is, like, crippled because of it. But, God, that is fucking cool.
I love it. Get him, Cactus.
Love it. Absolutely love it. And, like, as a kid, too, I can remember watching this match just being like, Cactus Jack!
Yeah, this was a DQ ending as well, eh?
It was. Billy Gunn tries to beg off attack Cactus Jack with the bat. Jack catches him, and then he turns into the massive chair shot that you were talking about earlier by Road Dogg, and, like, oh my God. Like, yeah. I'm so glad we don't do chair shots to the head, or if we do... They are very, very protected and safe. It's just, yeah.
He got riggedy, riggedy wrecked, man.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that is one.
Oh, I wrote down here. Dude, the chair shot happened before the interference. The chair shot did not cause a DQ. I rewatched it. The match started. Yeah, no. Shot, no DQ.
I wrote that down here, too, because I put in giant capital letters, what the fuck.
Yeah, like, what a fucking clown of a referee.
And then it's just, they explain it on commentary that it's referee's discretion, and it's like, okay. Like, no, it's just people forgetting the rules, apparently.
Just silly.
Cactus Jack taunts New Age Outlaws to follow him up the stage. Jack throws Road Dogg into the box to nudge it. And we hear the sound of a chainsaw, and it goes through the box, and insert King scream here, and it is none other. It could be Leatherface. Nope, it's Terry Funk with nylons over his head. What?
The Funker.
It is the Funker, and yes, this is Chainsaw Charlie, who then chases the New Age Outlaws around the ring, and they bolt as Charlie and Cactus are in the ring. And I don't know if you registered this at all, but while Cactus and Charlie were both in the ring, there was not a very big pop.
Yeah, it did seem a little backwards where, like, I don't know, the babyface is trying to murder. It's hard to cheer for that, you know, like, get him.
Get him.
Yes, it did seem like a no-win situation fan-wise, you know. Fuck the Outlaws, but come on, we don't want to fucking murder them.
Oh, God.
Yeah, just one of those confusing moments.
Oh, extremely confusing, because it's like, okay, I'm pretty sure Funk didn't have the nylons over his face, we would have been able to tell that it was Terry Funk a lot better, which would have probably gotten much better reaction than Crickets, but yeah, it was just very weird.
Yeah. God damn.
But now we are moving on, and here is Sable in a robe, and Kevy Akeli is in the ring, and he puts over the Raw magazine. And he says that Sonny is in a split cover with Sable. Well, where the hell is my Sonny, goddammit? Why is Sable here?
Where's Soon Sonny? Enough, my boy. Soon enough.
What Sonny, dammit. Anyway. Sable is giving a very special treat for her fans tonight. And yes, it sounded just that enthusiastic, too. But here comes Mark Mero with a chair, and he sits in the ring. This guy screams just possessive, and that is not good. Gentlemen, if you want any kind of example what a possessive boyfriend looks like and what not to be, this is it.
Ironically, he's called Marvelous Mark Mero.
Like, oh my God. So he says to Sable, well, what? I'm just here for the show. You wouldn't do anything to humiliate Miro. And I just put down here, you do a good enough job yourself, bud. They came to see me wrestle, not see you take your clothes off. I'm the star here. And it's like, no, they came to see Hits, unfortunately.
Yeah, the heat, brother. The heat.
The heat. And Kevin Kelly, nice guy Kevin Kelly, is like, hey, Mero, like, come on, man. You got to stop this. Like, you're berating your wife. Like, geez, what's wrong with you, man? And Mero starts berating Kelly, which I'm hot here. Like, I was hot here. Calls Kelly a third string announcer and then decks him. And I put in giant capital letters, not cool. But here comes the man with a plan, the man of the hour, our favorite, your favorite. Here comes Tom Brandy in all capital letters. And Brandy makes the save and hits the chair and hits Mero with the chair. No. And he gets hit by Mero with the chair and then TKO'd onto it. And it's like, oh, man, Brandy, we were all excited to see you, buddy.
Fuck. Our enthusiasm will only take you so far. You got to work with us.
I'm not kidding, man. I want Tom Brandy to win the Royal Rumble now. Like, I want to go back in time and give this guy the biggest push of his life.
Yeah. Jobber no more.
Jobber no more. He's the WWF champion.
Poor bastard. Fucking comes and saves the day, and he gets fucking laid out for his troubles.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like he's like Kevin Kelly, Tom Brandy. They're all just trying to be nice guys, and here, crazy ass Mark Mero. Like, God. And I'm sorry, but Sable just allowing all this to happen. Shame on her.
Yeah. Any
good woman would have stepped in and been like, no, enough. But nope. She's just gonna, oh, I gotta leave now.
And, you know you're in the friend zone when you come out to help her and then you get laid out and she does nothing.
Oh, it's brutal. It is brutal.
Poor Brandy.
Poor Brandy. Miro asks Brandy if he wants to take Sable home and starts to rip the magazine and put it in his mouth. Also says that he will do the same thing to anyone who brings up the magazine again. And Sable leaves as Miro taunts, but Sable's music plays, which it's like, yeah.
That was weird.
Would you like to take over the next segment, sir?
Yeah, sure. Which, overall, I liked it. I just want to start out with that because of the fact that it starts out really, like, almost predictable, where you think you know what's going to happen. You got everyone that Kane has laid out come out to the ring, and they are protesting. And they're ready to take down Kane altogether. Group effort. You got the DOA. You got Scott Taylor. Fucking, I think that was it, right? Am I missing anyone? Scott Taylor, DOA. Headbangers?
Headbangers were also there,
too. Okay, yeah. I remember they were, I don't know why, but they kept harping on seven. We got seven men who were all beat up by Kane coming out here, and they got something to say. And they kept saying seven. I don't know why it was important that there were seven of them. And then Kane comes out, and he's...
Wait a second. That doesn't make any sense.
DOA, that's three. Scott Taylor's four. Headbangers is six, so we're missing one.
Yeah, because if it was seven angry men, Crush would have still been around. But as I was about to say, I totally forgot about this. In the Los Barriquas versus DOA match from earlier, Jim Ross puts it on commentary that Crush couldn't make it in the WWE because of Kane's attack, apparently. And that's because Crush is going to jump to WCW and become Bryan Adams.
Shit.
Part of our favorite tag team of all time, Chronic.
Fucking great.
Chronic,
boo. Yeah. Whoever the fucking mystery seventh person was, they're all in the ring.
No idea. I can't think on who it is. For the life of me.
They call out Kane. They are these brave motherfuckers who are ready to put an end to Kane's tyranny. And then you got The Undertaker come out, and you think Undertaker is going to be the eighth man to lay into Kane. But then you have Undertaker saving his younger brother, and the two of them lay out all seven men.
Well, six, because we still don't know who the seventh man is.
Some Vacant. Vacant was there, and he got laid out. Vacant was
there, yes.
He got laid out by Kane and Undertaker. Just another guy to be laid out.
Yeah, and, like, I thought this was cool, and...
Visually, yes, I dug it. Kane and Undertaker just smacking people around.
Yeah, and Taker did his job protecting his little brother, so he leaves Kane in the ring. And as he leaves, Undertaker says, "I'll never fight you. I'll burn in hell before I fight you."
The slow, slow build, man. Like, the storytelling with Kane and Undertaker, I really like it.
Oh, I do too. This is like one of those like wax candles. They're all made of wax, you idiot. It's like one of those slow burning candles that just lasts for like an eternity. And it's like, my God.
It's quite good. Yes, quite good.
It is. And this one of my favorite storylines, even though that most of their matches weren't all that great. But we're still getting a pretty cool encounter for WrestleMania 14. Spoilers.
Yeah.
Would you like to quickly go through the last of the New Age Outlaws?
Oh, yeah. You have the Outlaws in the locker room scared for their fucking lives since they just had a dude chase them with a chainsaw. And who was the interviewer? Was it Kevin Kelly?
No, it was our favorite, Sean.
Fucking Sean. He's right there at the scene to ask the hard-hitting question. What do you guys think of defending your titles at Royal Rumble against LOD? And they're like, what? What? Why are you talking to us about Royal Rumble? We just had a guy chase us with a chainsaw. Our lives are on the line. Never mind our titles being on the line.
Billy's reaction of him flipping out, grabbing Sean, and just being like, who cares about LOD?
Our lives are in danger.
Oh, God.
And then you got the fucking chainsaw come through the door. I swear, I thought we were going to see the I thought we were going to see The Shining. I thought, here's Funker. But no, he just kicked the door. No, Cactus fucking rammed the door down. And the Outlaws haul ass.
And I love before the Outlaws haul ass that they grab, that one of them is like, grab the belts! And then they go grab the tag titles and then they take off.
Oh man, that was just the big sell, big sell. Like, that's exactly the kind of reaction you'd have if someone was chasing you with a chainsaw. Fuck.
All right. Now we're going to get to one of my favorite segments. Coronet's commentary.
Holy fuck, man.
This was amazing. And again, in my Jim Cornette impression. God damn, everything stinks. WCW, NWO, ECW, phony wrestling matches, people dressed as Christmas trees, reindeers. It was so, so funny.
And it was so crisp, man.
It was, and that's one of the biggest reasons why I love Cornette so much.
Three minutes of him just laying it all out there.
Fucking double cheeseburger, motherfucker!
God damn, he's a heel!
God damn, he's a heel!
Put him in a box, he'll be over!
But Cornette just rants about wanting to watch real wrestling. And goddamn, the South was born and raised on real wrestling. I'm gonna bring real wrestling back next week, goddamn.
And in 2020, he's saying the exact same thing. So you gotta respect him for sticking to his beliefs.
Absolutely. I will give Jim Cornette all the credit in the world for sticking to his guns for this long. Like, believing what you believe in. I will admit, I don't believe in everything that Cornette says, but he does make a hell of an argument for some of the things. And
okay,
I'll say this right now. Phony wrestling matches. I just saw a gif of a social distance choke slam.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, but in comparison, it's a dick flip. Why are you selling that shit?
It's hard to watch, yeah.
And I really don't care, but yeah. The dick flip is the stupidest thing that has ever come into pro wrestling. And that is one thing I will definitely agree with Cornette on, because, oh my God, yes, I get it. It is an entertainment process. We are in the entertainment business, but we are also in sports entertainment. So let's focus more on the sports and a little bit of entertainment, or at least try to be entertaining while you are doing the sports. It's just very
infuriating.
Anyway, it is infuriating. And then we get a cut to a commercial for Bushido Blade, and it is the Slam PlayStation of the Week, and it's Stone Cold Stun Santa Claus, which is like, yeah, I could totally see that being a Slam of the Week, thank you. And then just play Wedding Bells, play romantic music, play anything you want. My love is here, Sonny, and just, my God, that's all I put down here. I put goddamn and my God, that's all I wrote. I swore my heart was leaping out of my chest at some points, but I think that's normal. It's okay, whatever, it's fine. Goddamn,
fucking Sonny.
And then we get the announcement, Jim Ross over the house mic, telling the world, telling people in the arena that the WWF and Mike Tyson have begun negotiations for WrestleMania 14. And you can just hear the lump creating in Bischoff's throat. Like, oh, man, so cool. So very cool. Because, like, obviously wrestling was one of my biggest things, but then, like, you know, being associated with older people, they liked they liked boxing, so it was just like, yeah, it was a nice mix, like hearing that kind of stuff, right?
A crossover, man.
Very, very cool. Very cool. And I have very, very little notes on this because I literally just watched the whole thing. I thought it was a very solid match through and through. Would you like to take over our final match for the evening?
So we got Owen Hart versus Shawn Michaels for the WWF Championship, which we were both pleasantly surprised to hear about. You know, you as a kid, you now, me now. Just, you know, Owen's getting his chance, man. But what I got a huge kick out of is Michaels is coming out. He's got his chaps on. He's got his ring gear on. Owen Hart jumps his ass, beats him up some, gets pulled off by the ref, and you see Shawn very carefully and strategically unzipping his stuff, carefully taking it off, and then boom, he's back to selling.
Yep, I noticed that too. I'm glad I wasn't
one. What a guy. He's just like, oh, I can't see my face. Oh, I just got punched. Hold on, let me get this off. Let me put this over here. Oh my God, Owen Hart, bitch.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was just, what a professional. Turns it on and off with ease. And then, yeah, for just the match itself, on a serious note, it was very fun to watch. The pace, the chemistry, everything just went so smoothly. You know, like, it looked good. It was really good to watch. And just, I don't have specific notes, but just straight up, what I liked about the match was Owen Hart constantly trying to win. It wasn't just so much like, I know he said it before, where he said beating up Shawn means more to him than actually winning the championship, but you see him try to win the match.
No, constantly. Totally. That was one of my biggest notes here, too. Like, it, with everything that Owen did, it just, yeah, it looked like he was going, like he wanted to win this match. Like, yes, I get it. There, you're wrestling. There has to be a winner and stuff like that. But when you can kick it into an intensity like that, it's like, oh my God, like Owen Hart's actually going to fucking win this thing. Look how on game he is right now. Like he's taking every chance he can get. Like it's perfect. And of course, again, me being a gullible 7-year-old kid, I'm screaming at the top of my lungs in front of a TV set, hoping that one of my childhood heroes is going to win. Like it's just, yeah. Very cool.
When he locked in the sharpshooter, man, that was cool shit. I like that they gave him that at least, where it looked like he was going to win. Not so much that, you know, Shawn, you know, is that much better than him. Shawn kicked his ass. No, you see Owen on top. You see Owen lock in the sharpshooter. So tap out or not, that must have been a win for a lot of Bret Hart fans.
They should have just rang the bell right there. Fuck yeah. It.
Screw Shawn. Fucking
screw Shawn.
Asshole.
But one of my other notes that I have here as well, Triple H hilariously misses the first time when he swings the crutch over the top rope, but then he gets it through the middle rope and the second time. And yeah, I laughed at that. It was just like, too, damn it, I'm too short. Ah, oh, here you go. You asshole, will get you through the top and middle rope.
Yeah.
And that causes the DQ. Owen Hart wins, but not the championship.
Boo. Fuck it. Oh, and the match ended very, very tight with timing, right? Because they were still in the middle of this and that, whatever, and then boom, episode over.
It was literally like, yeah, beat down on Owen for like, I think, what, 15 seconds it felt like, and then, yeah, fade to black.
Yeah, man, goddamn.
That was a good episode of Raw. I really like that episode.
Yeah, like we said, there's a lot to say about each segment and match.
And, oh man, like, just watching it back, I was like, oh, right, I remember this episode because of the box. And I was like, right. And that wasn't even my favorite part, though, so, but we'll get into all that. But, sir, what stood out to you the most?
Just the Gaga, man. I think even without Jim Cornette's promo, his amazing promo,
yeah.
Despite that, everything had some kind of bullshit. Whether it was the Crapper 316, Baby New Year, the fucking, you know, interference on the Brawl match, the fucking fake injury, the casket, you know, the interference with this and that, whatever. George Steele, like, just everything had some kind of fucking shenanigan with it. Some kind of bullshit. Besides Owen and Michaels, Like, I can't even point to a match that I fucking thought was really, really good. Shamrock and Kama, to a point, was really good, but that is a means to an end kind of match where you know what's going to happen, you know what it's leading to, but, you know, simple story kind of thing. But Owen and Michaels, that was good shit, but that's it.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with you that I enjoyed. It was a very heavy, like, segment-heavy show, and I enjoyed it for that reason. But, again, I'm more than positive that Vince Russo is writing right now, so of course it's going to be fucking 5 million segments because the man doesn't do wrestling at all, apparently.
And he's serving us everywhere. Or like Cornette says, he's a fucking Yankee, and Cornette does not care what he wants.
Goddamn Yankee motherfucker! Watch some real wrestling with some double cheese on it. But yes, the one thing that, well, fuck, there was so much that I remembered from this episode. But I think the thing that I remembered the most was the Cactus Jack promo, because I loved it.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
Just the, you got a surprise for me, I got a surprise for you. Bang, bang. I don't know. Whenever I hear the bang, bang, I just get chills for some reason. So, I honestly, then the WWF title match, that's the two things that, like, I remembered the absolute most. The thing, and Chainsaw Charlie, of course, because the fucking,
the attempted murder.
The box, yes, and the attempted murder. The thing that I did forget, though, oh my god, the Los Boricuas and DOA feud happening for 5 months. And George the Animal Steel is Taka's partner, because that was amazing. Oh god,
top to bottom, man. Like, just so much shenanigans.
Oh, man. That was such a good episode. I hope 98's going to be a lot of fun, because there's going to be a lot of funny shit that happens and fun stuff. So I'm looking forward to it all.
Oh, yeah. Real quick for the episode. If there was ever an episode to show that Cornette promo, it was this fucking
episode. This one. Abso-goddamn-lutely. They made that happen for sure. They were like, okay, we filmed this Cornette thing like 3 months ago. We keep telling him that we're going to put him on it. Like, where can we put it in? Where can we put it? Oh, my God. This episode right here. There is so much happening. So, yes, absolutely.
Fucking perfect.
Hey, at least they tuned it up for the main event, because that was wrestling.
It's like they made us wait for it, but they took all the good wrestling that they could have had throughout the show, and they slapped it right in the main event, which I could appreciate.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, oh, let's get all the funny shit out of the way first, then Cornette, and then Shawn Michaels and Owen Hart being like, oh, shit, all right, now we actually have to, like, go and wrestle and not just do a comedy match.
Shit.
But, sir, would you like to get on with your segment of pulling the lever?
Hell yes. This is probably my favorite part of the show. You all know the drill. Maverick, you know the drill. You must pull the correct lever of which one you think I would do.
Yes.
Do you think I would rather have George the Animal Steel as my partner in a dire situation? Or do you think I'd rather have Jim Cornette cut a promo on the state of Tony Novak's career?
Oh. God damn you, flippity motherfucker. Stay on your feet. Don't go to the top rope ever. God damn.
That's not real wrestling.
That's not real wrestling.
You want to get over it? Get in the books.
Take some steroids, you little shit. No.
He'll never make it.
He's never going to make it. He's like 110 pounds soaking wet, goddamn. Eat a cheeseburger, motherfucker. Oh, my God. That was amazing.
All right.
Oh, shit. This one is tough because, I mean, George the Animal Steel proved to be one of the worst partners ever. I took his gimmick out and hit Lawler with it. Eating the turnbuckle pads and not helping his partner when needed. But both will go down in history because I will never now forget that Taka Michinoku teamed with George the Animal Steel. God damn, I'm going to say you will want to have a promo cut on you by Jim Cornette.
You got it, man.
I took a because look, long term, arc there.
Yeah, long term, man. Jim Cornette, I'll probably benefit from it. He'll tell me everything I'm doing wrong. He will not sugarcoat it. He will eat me alive. But George the Animal Steel will fucking leave me to the Lawlers. The Lawlers will beat me up, and George Steel will not care. Point proven.
Oh my God, that was. You know what? For some weird reason. Actually, you know what? I have one for you.
Oh, shit.
I have one for you, actually, now that I think about it. Because the ones that I was thinking that were definitely, I was like, he's got to be picking this one, these ones. I didn't get any of them. So I'm going to give you two. Obviously, I don't have the sound bites right now. But I'm hoping that our good friends who are editing this will be able to help us out. So, Tony Novak, I will offer you my pulling the lever question.
All right, let's hear it.
Do you think I would rather watch another Goldust promo where he is in a celebratory diaper for New Year's? Or recap another 5 months of the Los Barriquas versus EOA feud.
So X amount of minutes of gold dust or X amount of months with a pointless feud?
Yep.
I feel like I'll get a better payoff with gold dust getting his ass kicked, so I would say gold dust.
You would be correct.
Yes.
You would be correct, because I cannot fucking watch the Los Barriquas and
DOA
any goddamn more. I can't.
There's no payoff, man.
There's no titles involved. There's nothing involved. It's just gang mentality. Oh, my God. If you know what that's from, I will give you all the credit in the world.
Joey Styles.
No, it happens when you're doing the Street Fighter mini game where you're destroying the car, and then the dude shows up and he's like, "Oh my God!" Yeah, so funny. Nice. Anyway, that was this week's episode. Time out with Maverick. And Novak. And oh my God, yeah, I had a lot of fun recapping this episode. Novak, is there anything you would like to plug, sir, before we sign off?
I want to plug Time Out, man, because like you said, we're on a bit of a hiatus, but I'm making a commitment to not slacking off anymore, getting these done, making sure we're ahead of the game, making sure we're getting done promptly, make sure we're getting posted promptly. So listen to Time Out. Keep an eye out for a new episode. They're only going to get better, and we're going to be doing the watch along with the Royal Rumble, correct?
Yes, that is going to be coming up pretty quick. I think it's only about 2 or 3 more weeks of our timeline time. So be on the lookout for that. And Novak and myself have been discussing other content to be putting out, which we will be getting some of those videos out as well. So be sure to check those out. I am not going to be name dropping what they are. They are going to be left as a surprise until they are published. But yes, be sure to check out everything. And if you haven't heard, There is local wrestling back on. Support local wrestling. Please do. If you have a branch that is open in your community, please go check it out. It means the world to all the performers. Like, I can't tell you enough. Like, it's tough with the restrictions. Don't get me wrong. But you know what? For the people that are doing it, big round of applause. Hats off to you. Like, we support you guys heading out there in the shittiest times of need. So, yes.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
But yes, this has been Time Out, and we are signing off. And so until next time, take care of yourself, be kind to one another, and we will see you next time.
Goodbye.